I come from quite far away. You could say I am named after a mighty warrior. Far away, Richter repeated, nodding. But where exactly? Everyone noticed the intensity of his question, He-Man included. While the man was confused, he also grew still when he saw Calder and Tarad look at him with menacing intent.
Ah, he began.
I do not think you would believe me, my lord, but I will answer. I come from a planet called Earth.
The world came to a standstill as soon as Richter heard that word. Tarad looked at him askance, wondering what his lord wanted him to do. Calder's eyes just remained glued to He-Man. Whatever initial positive feeling he had had about the man wouldn't stop him from taking his head if Richter ordered it. For long heartbeats, they all stood there. A single droplet of sweat beaded on He-Man's brow before rolling down the side of his face. He didn't know what he had done, but he was fairly certain this forest lord was about to order his death. But then, Richter smiled.
Let me welcome you again, He-Man. I'm always happy to meet a master of the universe.
The man's eyes widened in shock and comprehension as he realized the man he owed his freedom to was a Chaos Seed as well. With awe in his voice, he whispered, "By the power of Grayskull."
Chapter 53, Day 143, Qu'Born 33, 0 AOC.
Richter's mind was racing. He was looking at another Chaos Seed. Questions swirled in his head like a hurricane. Where was he from? Was the man a gamer that had played the land? Had he even come from Earth? Had he died back on Earth? Had he died here in the land? Was the experience the same as what Richter went through? Could he trust him? Should he even risk it? Why hadn't his analyze skill shown his race as Chaos Seed? Richter checked again, but he still just saw half gnome, half human. Did that mean his skill couldn't detect other people from Earth? That thought made his blood run cold. Did that mean he might have already met other Chaos Seeds and didn't even know it? The man was a Chaos Seed. A Chaos Seed! Richter led He-Man through the mists to a table where they sat and talked for the next several hours. Despite feeling more at ease than he had expected to, Richter was still hesitant to share too much. Even more than his mind being flooded with questions, he felt overwhelmed by the tumult of emotions rising up inside of him. There was excitement at having finally found another member of his race. Also, an almost painful curiosity to find out what this man knew. He felt pity that this He-Man had been forced into slavery. Above all else, though, he felt caution. Richter knew what his people were capable of doing when push came to shove. He'd thought many times on what coming to the land would do to humans, what the brutal planet might drive them to do, or worse, what dark impulses the land might let them express. Richter psychically called out to Alma, but she was hunting and out of range. He kept his expression neutral, but prepared himself for anything. He talked of his early days in the land, but avoided too many specifics about his travels. He-Man felt no such compunction. The first thing he explained was his name.
When I got here, I woke up in a pitch-black tunnel. I had been playing the land and had found this new dungeon. When I went inside, everything went dark and I must have lost consciousness. When I came to, I remember calling out, "Where am I?" It must have triggered something because a prompt appeared asking my name.
The half-gnome sighed heavily.
I didn't even think about it when I responded with my gamer handle, He-Man20$7. The same tag I had always used when I gamed. It got shortened to He-Man, and there was no way for me to change it. Which reminds me, how did you know my name before I told you?
I have a skill that allows me to know people's names, Richter responded simply.
I wish I had been so fortunate, He-Man said ruefully.
You still thought it was a game when you woke up?
Richter prompted, getting the conversation back on track.
Didn't you?
At first, Richter equivocated. He didn't elaborate that "at first" had only lasted about 3 minutes. That was when a flying imp had kicked him in the eye and made it clear that the land was not a game. The bastard had even enunciated every word to make sure that Richter got the point.
What happened next?
A look of pain and deep-seated anger crossed He-Man's face.
What happened next is that I died.
Again and again.
4 times in total, I think.
His voice grew haunted, and he looked off into the distance as he relived those early days.
There was no light. I had to just pick a direction at random and start walking.
After running into a low-hanging stalactite and losing an eye, Richter's mouth dropped open and He-Man just nodded gravely before continuing.
It became painfully clear that this wasn't a game anymore. I had heard rumors on the message boards of people disappearing, but I thought it was just a digital myth.
He laughed without humor.
After that, I began to crawl. I went for hours before I started hearing it.
The clacking? His voice dropped even lower.
It started as a low buzz, but clack, 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 clack.
One finger started tapping on the table that they were sitting at. It didn't appear that he was aware of it.
They get louder when they're getting closer to making a kill, you see.
He said it faster this time.
Clack, 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 clack.
He-Man started shuddering, and he looked at Richter with pain in his eyes.
They ate me. I never found out exactly what they were. From what I felt as I tried to fight them off, I know they were bugs of some kind. I know their bodies had 3 segments and 6 legs. I remember the way it felt to have those sharp legs crawl over me. Sharp little legs like daggers, but it's their mouths that I remember. That clacking was the sound of their pincers snapping together. They were as large as my leg, but their mouths had to be small. They bit me again and again and again. They ate me piece by small piece.
He looked off into the distance, lost in the horrible remembrance. He-Man stopped talking and just sat there.
Richter didn't know what to say.
He had been through his own horrible deaths. Being eaten by wolves had been emotionally scarring. From what he was hearing, though, He-Man had had it worse. There was no real point in comparing the two experiences. There were some things that were just so awful, there were no right words to say and make it better. Experiences like that were proof that death could be a blessing, a release from a pain that could not be endured. Richter had often wondered if the fact that he could be reborn would one day become a curse. They just sat there for a minute before He-Man continued.
When I was reborn, I just laid on the stone, sobbing in the dark. I don't know how long. Part of me just wanted to give up, but ultimately, hunger and thirst made me start moving again. I don't know if I respawned in the same place. You have no idea the fear I felt when I started making my way through the tunnels again. Every scrape of rock sounded like that horrifying clack-clack.
He-Man forced a false smile onto his face.
The good news is, I didn't run into the clack monsters again.
He sighed heavily.
This time, I lost my footing on a graveled slope and fell off a cliff.
Not very far. Just far enough to break both my ankles.
Have you ever died from dehydration?
Richter shook his head in sympathy.
It wasn't all bad.
I learned new things. Did you know that banging your head against a rock is an extremely inefficient way to kill yourself? You just pass out and then wake up with a horrible headache. I'm fairly certain a fever set in before the end. My body felt like it was on fire, but at least it hastened my death.
He-Man's tone was distant, analytical.
The man gave another deep sigh and visibly shook himself to dispel his dark mood. He plastered another fake smile on his face.
When I was born again, at least this time, I had a direction. Before I had left during my second life, I had arranged rocks into an arrow shape. I didn't know if I would come back to the same location, but I figured it was worth a shot.
Have you died? He asked. Richter nodded, understanding the man's pain.
Did you come back to the same place?
In the forest, Richter said, nodding again. An expression that Richter couldn't read passed over He-Man's face, there and gone in an instant. Then the man chuckled.
Your luck stat must be off the charts. I used to dream of the sun. I'm happy that you were not condemned to a lightless hell as I was.
Richter placed a hand on He-Man's shoulder. The man looked at him gratefully.
As I was saying, I had a direction now. I chose to travel the same way and resolved not to fall this time. At least it was away from the Wugs. It took what felt like forever, but I retraced my steps and made it down the slope. I kept walking. No food, no water, no hope. But then I saw it. The most beautiful thing I had ever seen. It was light. The light of a single torch. His face grew pensive at that point. I was near death at that point, I think. I tried to call out, but my throat was too dry. I'm pretty sure I collapsed. When I finally came to, I was in a cage. There were others with me. It turns out that I had been captured by a small tribe of gnolls. He chuckled fatalistically. I'd never been happier. They saved you? Gnolls? Richter asked. He hadn't come across any of the hyena humanoids yet, but Tarad had said they were a vicious species. They had caught us for food, He-Man responded. This guy's story was insanely depressing. Richter almost didn't want to ask more questions, but couldn't help himself. They killed you? No, He-Man told him, shaking his head. The gnolls butchered one prisoner a day, but only a week later, they were attacked by a powerful goblin clan. The Ashstalker clan? Richter asked. They were the same goblin nation he'd stolen the Bloodstone and liberated He-Man and the other slaves from. Yes, He-Man confirmed. They killed the gnolls easily. In the confusion, I got free and made my way into the gnoll chief's hut. That's where I found the wand I gave you. I concealed it and was captured soon afterwards. Over the next several months, the goblins moved me to various locations. The message was the same in each place, however. Work or die. I chose to work. It turned out that I had quite a knack for mining, and I advanced my skill quickly. It is amazing how good you can get at something when it's all you do every day, except for the 4 hours allotted for sleep. This guy was seriously depressing him. Rick, you're trying to keep the story moving. How did you hide the wand from the goblins? I'm sure they would have taken such a powerful magic item.
I would rather not discuss that, Lord Richter.
Richter looked at He-Man in curiosity, then his face took on a sympathetic cant. He keistered it, the enchanter realized. He resisted the impulse to sniff his hand, but resolved to wash up soon. As his granddaddy used to say, never trust money from a prison wallet. For now, he had another question. How did you advance your personal level to 7 if you've been a slave the whole time?
I received 6,000 experience points from leveling my mining skill. The goblin overseers had the capability to monitor the skills of others, most likely similar to your own skill, Lord Richter. They began taking me on hunting expeditions with them to increase my personal level and make me a more efficient worker. They had special goblin leaders that could give me a portion of everyone's experience. Each time I leveled, they carefully monitored where I allocated my points. That is why so many points went into my strength attribute.
Richter nodded, processing what he had been told. While he felt sympathy for He-Man's sad story, what really occupied his mind was the fact that the goblins had enough war leaders that they could power level slaves. That was not something he had wanted to hear. A strong war leader could increase the power of the troops he led by a massive amount. The fact that he might have just picked a fight with the Ashstalker clan, a kingdom that numbered in the tens or even hundreds of thousands, weighed heavily upon him. Another thought was bothering Richter. Maybe He-Man hadn't been power leveled just because he was a valuable worker. Had he missed another collaborator? Had He-Man's anger at the 14 men and women Richter had judged just been an act? He had to know. You got along well with the goblins, then? Richter asked lightly. He-Man's face grew sorrowful.
I know what they did to my fellow prisoners. I'm not blind. I asked myself many times if I should have stood up for the abused.
He looked ashamed.
You may call me a coward, but I was just another slave.
I was just trying to survive by working hard. I couldn't risk dying and going back into the dark.
Richter watched He-Man for a second. Then he realized he couldn't judge this man for having done what he had to do. Dying was no small matter, even if you were reborn. Richter also hadn't factored in that the other Chaos Seed hadn't been able to change his respawn point. Richter had only been able to change his own because he'd become master of a place of power. He had no idea what the rules were for changing spawning points. It just wasn't his place to judge He-Man for what he'd had to do to survive. Richter put a hand on He-Man's shoulder. You're safe now. Well, as safe as anyone else in this village. We'll speak more soon, but I have a great deal to do to ensure our continuing safety.
I completely understand, Lord Richter. I had only hoped to meet someone higher up in the guard.
Meeting you is beyond expectations. And meeting someone from home, that means the world.
I hope we can talk some more tomorrow.
Of course, Richter replied, standing up. He waved Calder over and told him to take He-Man back to the other freed prisoners. One more question occurred to him, though.
It sounds like you've been in the land for a few months. What month was it back home when you left?
February,
He-Man answered. Richter looked at him in confusion. That didn't make any sense. He'd been taken in May, and he'd been in the land for almost 5 months. Unless time moved differently once you were transported here. Maybe months and days translated differently. It had been the year 2037 when he'd entered the Castle of Transition.
What year? Richter called after him.
He-Man stopped with a quizzical expression on his face.
2044.
Then he started walking again, leaving Richter staring after him in disbelief. 7 years, Richter thought. It had been 7 years. 7 years at least, he realized. If time moved slower here in the land, and He-Man had been here for at least half the time that he had, 15 years or 20 years could have passed on Earth. Everyone he knew back home would have moved on. His friends and family could be dead. Richter searched his emotions about this, but as always, when he thought about home, there was only a nondescript dull feeling. He paused for a moment, thinking there was something about that, but then someone called his name and the worry faded from his mind. Richter left the training ground soon after and spent the rest of the day in the forge. In addition to making more enchanted arms and armor, he advanced 3 of his enchantments. Congratulations, you have reached rank 2 in the level 1 enchantment Life Aura. Congratulations, you have reached rank 3 in the level 1 enchantment Life Defense. Congratulations, you have reached rank 3 in the level 1 enchantment Multishot. It was the last one that was the true boon. Ranking up in Multishot brought a wonderful idea to his mind, namely using his dual enchantment talent to mix Multishot and some other form of attack enchantment. The first he tried was Freeze. He prepared 10 arrowheads and then enchanted them up to the 4th rank in Multishot and the 1st rank in Freeze. There was a slightly unpleasant surprise when he discovered that using a dual enchantment reduced the number of arrowheads he could enchant at once. In the past, he'd been able to inspell 10 at a time using only 1 dose of captured souls. This time, only 5 of the 10 were imbued with magic, and the others remained simple high steel. Still, it was enough for his experiment. Richter had the 5 attached to already prepared arrow shafts and left the forge with them. To his delight, they worked like a charm. After firing one, it shimmered in the air and became 4 different projectiles. All 4 left icy splotches on the cliff they impacted against. The cost to create a dual enchantment was expensive, both in powdered crystal as well as captured souls, but it opened up so many wonderful opportunities that Richter's mind started spinning. Once he finished enchanting, there wasn't much light left in the day. There was still enough time to go to the Scholar's Hut, though. As instructed, the Maedon sprites that had learned new spells were there. It took the last hours of daylight, but Richter was able to create spell books for all 3 new spells. He also finally learned a life spell that Isabella had been gifted with before. After Bartle had copied the tomes, he absorbed the magic and made it his own. Congratulations, you have learned Weak Detect Life. Allows the caster to see a faint glow from creatures possessing life in its many forms, including the animated dead, at a maximum distance of 20 yards.
This spell even allows the caster to detect creatures through walls, though the stealth capabilities of certain creatures may stymie this magic. This is a spell of life magic level 1, cost 44 mana, duration 8 minutes, range self, cast time 1 second, cooldown 1 minute. Congratulations, you have learned Weak Life's Radiance. Creates a 5-yard radius of life energy around the caster. All healing spells are 5% more effective to anyone within the boundaries of this spell. Life creatures are 5% stronger, and death creatures are 5% weaker. This is a spell of life magic level 1. Cost 38 mana. Duration 5 minutes. Range self. Cast time 2 seconds. Cooldown 18 minutes. Congratulations, you have learned Weak Honed Air. Creates an area of extremely compressed air around your weapon. Increases the lethal distance of your weapon by 3 inches. Enemies struck with its extended radius will not trigger enchantments in your weapon. This is a spell of air magic, level 1. Cost 31 mana. Duration 20 minutes. Range self. Cast time 2 seconds. Cooldown 18 minutes. Congratulations, you have learned Weak Voice Displacement. Allows the caster to make his voice appear to come from a different location up to 10 yards away. This is a spell of air magic, level 1. Cost 17 mana, duration 12 minutes, range self, cast time 1 second, cooldown not applicable. With all that done, Richter finally headed back to his room. He was asleep before his head hit the pillow. Chapter 54, Day 144, Kuborn 34, 0 AOC. Richter awoke to a creature flying above his head.
It has happened! It is time!
Richter coughed as pixie dust fell in his mouth.
What? Alora?
Exactly what part of her body did that dust come from again?
Yes!
She replied happily. The piccolo sounds of her voice were filled with joy.
The quickening fruit has matured. The tree is singing, and so are my children. Come, you don't want to miss the dawn.
Still somewhat confused, Richter was nevertheless caught up in his companion's joy. Alma was dislodged from her usual spot of sleeping on his chest as he sat up. She sent him her typical psychic complaints over having been woken up too early. Something about her not having a belt of sustenance that decreased her sleep needs, and that he was a horrible and cruel master, followed by the obligatory demand that he scratch the scales down the middle of her back. After acceding to the last, both Richter and the dragonling got out of bed. Alora somehow tapped her foot impatiently while hovering in midair as he splashed some water on his face. She started audibly huffing when he put a dollop of what passed for toothpaste in the land on his finger and scrubbed. He would not walk around with stank in his mouth, no matter how wondrous of an event was occurring, an event he still didn't understand. A quick swish and spit later, and they were on their way. She flew fast enough that he had to jog to keep up with her. While he moved, he downed a potion of clarity from his bag of holding. The guards stationed in the catacombs clapped their fists to their chests in salute as he sped by. As he exited the caverns, Richter was greeted by a dark sky that was just beginning to lighten. The bluish moon Aquiel hung prominently in the heavens. East and closer to the horizon, Richter could make out the nearly pitch-black moon, Nivur. It was smaller, but still always seemed ominous to him. Its purple striations gave it the appearance of a desiccated corpse. Despite it being in view, the fading night was perfect and beautiful. He could feel the wind caress his skin, and he took a moment to watch the few clouds float across the sky. There was a moisture in the air, but it was still pleasantly warm from yesterday's summer sun. Alora didn't pause to take in the view and continued flying west towards the meadow. She stayed at the same elevation, soon dozens of yards above the earth. Queen she may be, but in that moment, she was just a young woman who was excited beyond belief. She waved at him impatiently, urging him to go faster. In a world that required him to sentence men and women to death, to fight for his very survival and to wash blood from his hands on a daily basis, Richter surrendered to the moment. He gave a laugh of pure joy and sprinted after her. She laughed as well, the sound like the tinkling of glass bells and streaked off, leaving a trail of glowing dust behind her multicolored wings. In no time at all, he was in the northern meadow and running towards the quickening. Its thick white leaves were shifting in the wind, and Richter could see snatches of color peeking through. The pixies were flying in circles under the canopy, as excited as their queen. Elora had already crossed under the boughs of the celestial tree. Hisako's army and the Maidan sprites were arrayed in the meadow around the quickening. The sprites all shared a deep bond with nature and were inspired by the quickening, but they were in absolute awe of the pixies. The small creatures were the other half of their souls, and every sprite was born with a yearning for a union with one of them, a yearning for the Maidan. As Richter got closer, he realized that the leaves of the quickening were moving more than the wind could account for, and some were shifting in different directions. As soon as he crossed under the hanging tree limbs, he heard it. A faint tinkling that came from above. The silver undersides of the quickening leaves were striking together, and somehow they were making music. The pixies flew in intricate and opposing circles around the tree, their voices raised in song. Know this, you are witness to the song of celestial ripening. The quickening, the bonded tree of Queen Elora, has finally borne mature fruit. For the first time in several ages, the silver spheres of a quickening shine their light upon the land. The celestial pixies hear the chiming of the bells that vibrate in many realities. It will grow louder as the first light of the sun gets closer to shining upon the quickening's magnificence. Any who hear this song will be more likely to be successful in their endeavors for the next day, and the universe itself will help them make the best choices. Richter stood there, witness to beauty and poetry. Before long, the sun rose and he watched a miracle happen before his eyes. The first rays of light fell on its white leaves, and the quickening absorbed the power and promise of a new day. Overnight, it had drank every wavelength of starlight that fell upon it, and now, with the golden rays of sunlight powering it as well, the tree came alive. The intricate whorls in the bark of the trunk became outlined in silver-white light, and for the first time, Richter could see beyond a doubt that they were actually part of a language. He could not read it, proving that the words were of a higher language, most likely celestial, as his gift of tongues ability could translate almost anything else. As he watched, the dark silver fruit of the quickening descended on thin branches. Each limb held one of the precious pods. There were easily more than 100 in the first few moments, and more descended every second.
"As is only fitting, my lord,"
Elora's sweet voice came from behind him.
"You shall have the first and best."
She led him to the trunk while her children sang and danced above her. Then she raised her own beautiful voice, light yet soulful, and sang to the tree itself. The light seeping through the whorls on the bark brightened, and the octuple helix that formed the trunk began to move. A last and final fruit descended from inside of the tree's hollow center. It was half again as large as the others. It was attached to a single thin silver branch which flowed towards him. Richter raised both hands in supplication, and the gift was delivered unto him. You have been bestowed first fruit of the quickening. Durability 138 of 138. Herb class legendary. Herb quality celestial pure. Weight 2 kilograms. Traits. This is the first fruit produced by a quickening. Anyone consuming the soft silver flesh of this fruit will be forever changed by its celestial nature. The full effects can only be known after consumption. This first fruit will surpass the effects of other fruit by 10 times. In addition to the prompt showing the fruit's actual stats, more notifications appeared in his vision. Congratulations! You have been honored with the first fruit born of a new quickening. The celestial nature of this unique item will change you forever. From each generation of fruit created, you may enjoy the blessing of one of the fruits by consuming its flesh. Other uses of celestial fruit may be discovered in time. Normally, a quickening bears fruit twice per year, but the bonus of your life mastery increases the resource growth of your village by +30%. coupled with the benefits of being cared for by a celestial pixie, your quickening will bear fruit 4 times per year. Truly, you have been blessed, Richter of the Mist Village.
There was nothing more.
It seemed to him that such an amazing object, like the legendary fruit he was holding in his hands, deserved more pomp and circumstance. Apparently the universe disagreed. Or perhaps it was merely waiting for him to eat. Richter had almost no doubt that consuming the fruit would be a good thing, but he still had a niggling thread of worry. Too many times things had not been exactly as they appeared in the land. He would have felt better if his herb lore skill could have told him the specific effects of eating the fruit, but the powerful nature of the tree precluded that. Alora headed off any further worry, flying in front of him. With a sure smile on her small face, she spoke.
You can trust me and my bonded tree, my lord. Please.
Saying nothing else, she grabbed hold of his free hand. With a flutter of her multicolored wings, she guided his fingers to the stem on top of the silver fruit. The exterior of the fruit was a gleaming silver. No one could ever mistake it for plain silver, though, because it was warm to the touch. Strong reflections could be seen in its smooth surface, and there were faint whorls beneath the surface of the metal. It was perfectly spherical, except for a small depression on top that a stem extended out from. Richter had honestly been wondering how to go about eating it because it felt like a lump of hard metal in his hand. At Alora's urging, he pulled and twisted the stem. More silver light leaked from the top of the fruit until it came free completely. A beam the color of the precious metal bathed his face, bringing with it feelings of peace and contentment. With the stem gone, the outer silver rind fell away. The inner fruit was revealed, and celestial light cascaded across all present. He would never fully be able to describe the experience, as it seemed to transcend words, but it felt like acceptance and joy. It was the first time he'd gotten a 100 on a quiz. It was the home run he'd hit as a child. The ball had flown so far. It was the perfect breast that had unscrambled just for a moment on Channel 99. It was slow dancing with a girl that liked him and feeling her melt into his arms. It was watching an eclipse with his dad while they ate ice cream. It was flipping a pancake for the first time and not making a mess. It was a sunrise after a nighttime hike. It was drinking too much with friends and laughing in a perfect moment that could never come again. The feeling was like every happy and joyous moment he'd ever felt, but stripped of the judgments, worries, and concerns that had always plagued him. He understood in that moment the purity of good. It was a celebration of life, but also an acceptance of its imperfections. It was seeing how those impurities were actually as vital and necessary as the protrusions on the puzzle pieces. They allowed every moment and every joy to fit into a greater whole. That was what he was a part of, what they were all a part of, a unity. Then the light began to fade and Richter could clearly see the luminescent fruit. The skin was completely translucent. Inside of it was a slowly moving swirl of light. Globes that looked like silver planets revolved around a silver corona in the center. The light played across Richter's skin and beckoned to him. Nothing perfect can last long in this dimension. Now that the inner flesh of the quickening fruit has been exposed, it must be consumed quickly or be lost forever. The Chaos Seed did not wait any longer. His teeth bit into the fruit, and the small universe of power it contained flowed into him. Know this, you have consumed the flesh of the first fruit of a quickening. By eating this unique herb, you are now bound to this quickening. The celestial tree is powerful but benevolent. It only wishes to maximize the potential of all creatures. You will now begin to receive unique quests associated with furthering the quickening's nature. These will offer opportunities and items that otherwise could not be obtained. They may also alter your relationship with certain factions. You have been offered a quest, Potential for Greatness 1. Feed the fruit of the quickening to 10 different professionals. Only professionals with a good or neutral alignment may safely consume the fruit of the quickening. Current count, 1 of 10. Reward, unknown. Penalty for failure or rejection of quest? None. Do you accept? Yes or no? Richter barely thought about it as he chose yes. The juice of the fruit continued to pour down his throat and, it felt like, into his veins. More prompts appeared. You have consumed the first fruit of a quickening. This has infused your body with celestial power. You shall never be the same again. Your attributes will be adjusted, and any children that you have will also benefit from boons that you receive. Any further points invested in these stats will benefit from this modifier. The consequences of this action may never be fully known, but there are decisions to be made now. Due to your exposure to the song of celestial ripening, you may allow the universe to choose what it believes to be in your best interests. Be warned, the will and whim of the universe is unfathomable. Do you wish the universe to decide for you? Yes or no? The mention of his children grabbed his attention, but only momentarily, as pure energy continued to flow into him. Focusing was difficult, but the question of whether to let the universe decide for him hovered insistently in his gaze. Richter didn't like the idea of relinquishing control. He never had, but he also didn't like being a blind moron. The songs of the pixies were powerful magic. It seemed to him that disregarding the magic of friendly celestial beings as he made choices about consuming a celestial fruit would be a bad move. He selected yes and hoped for the best. The prompts continued to cascade. Know this, one of your primary attributes has been chosen in accordance with your true desire to be increased. This boost is normally 1%, but for consuming the first fruit, you gain a plus 10% boon. Your chosen stat is intelligence. Adjusted intelligence, 72.6. Effective intelligence, 73. Richter's mana points soared from 708 to 778. As always, he searched himself to see if he could detect a change in his intellect, but he felt nothing. He didn't have time to focus on it as more windows appeared. Know this, one of your secondary attributes has been chosen in accordance with your true desire to be increased. Your chosen stat is resilience. Boost for this secondary attribute is normally 10%, but for consuming the first fruit, you gain a plus 100% boon. Know this, you have increased a secondary attribute, resilience. In every life, trials arise, and many fail their tests. This attribute is a measure of your ability to withstand the worst of conditions before succumbing to death. You may cling to the mortal coil with spectral fingers, holding on to life for a scant few additional moments than should be allowed by gods and demons. You will be able to withstand the blows of fate with your head held high, bleeding and bruised and pale. You have no guarantee for success, but by birth and will, your own resilience has risen to plus 3.6. The base resilience of most people in the land is plus 1. Your base resilience of plus 1.0 is affected by several factors. 1. Endurance. Your primary attribute increases your resilience by plus 0.35. 2. Resolute. The quality you gained after your first death has increased your resilience by plus 0.15. 3. Tortured but unbroken. Your ill-advised interaction with Auditor Nexus resulted in months of perceived pain. Only a fool would threaten a being with powers akin to a demigod in their own domain, but a long-lived fool may be the most resilient creature in existence. The experience has increased your resilience by plus 0.3. 4. First Fruit of the Quickening, plus 100% to resilience. Total resilience, plus 3.6. The torrent of power began to slacken a bit, allowing Richter greater control over his conscious thoughts. He was still at the mercy of the celestial power, but the initial burst had been like standing next to a frozen waterfall when it first thawed, and now he was merely being swept along in the stream rather than buffeted by it. As his reason returned, he reflected upon the choices that had been made for him. The fact that the universe had chosen to increase resilience and not the other secondary attributes he was aware of, like his new creativity, which would clearly be a boon, was somewhat disturbing. It was true that his stubbornness, a trait that had been termed by others as his tendency to be a raging asshole, had been both a blessing and a curse in his lifetime. For good or ill, it had definitely been necessary since coming to the land. Death and pain had been constant companions, perhaps even more than Sion and Tirad. He could see the wisdom in increasing his resilience, but he worried what it boded for his future. Then he saw the bit about Nexus, and his worry was replaced by the greatest annoyance he'd ever experienced in life. The walking anal pimple actually was kind of a god. More notifications flowed. Know this, consuming the fruit of the quickening increases the affinity of one of your skills. The choice given to all is, 1, choose a specific known skill and receive a 1% boost to the current affinity. 2, choose a known skill at random and receive a 5% boost to the current affinity. 3, choose a random skill, known or unknown, and receive a 10% boost to the current affinity. Know this, for consuming the first fruit, all of the above bonuses are increased by 10 times. Know this, increasing any affinity above 100% will trigger an automatic increase in skill level. This increase will continue, decreasing the total affinity by 10% per level until your affinity is 100% or less. Know this, increasing any affinity above 50% will trigger an automatic awakening of the skill, awarding the recipient skill level 1. In accordance with your true desire, the universe has chosen to increase a random skill affinity by 100%. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Cloud Running. Few outside the Sky Monks of Yunfei Monastery have ever learned this skill. The feline monks, which call the monastery their home, the Four Dij, may have some passing resemblance to snow leopards, but they are far from animals. Their culture is among the richest and most venerable in the land. Their martial arts make them a force on par with almost any fighter in the land, but what they are most known for is the skill Cloud Running. Focusing their chi, they can glide on the air for short periods of time. True masters of this skill can climb to the highest heights with nothing but air beneath them. Plus 0.25 seconds of aerial glide time. Plus 2% strength of jumps. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 2 through 10 in cloud running. Plus 2.5 seconds of aerial glide time. Plus 20% strength from jumps. Congratulations, you have advanced from novice to initiate in cloud running. You may now jump upon non-solid surfaces. Using pure gaseous mediums to jump again increases the stamina required by 200%. Other mediums drain less stamina depending on their density, viscosity, and other factors. You have received 1,250 bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the skill Cloud Running. XP deficit remaining, minus 98,783. Enjoy these gifts, Richter of the Mist Village. You could have chosen many different paths that would not have allowed this celestial tree to bear fruit in the land. Your unselfish choice to allow Alora to bond to the quickening has not been forgotten. The quickening itself is a being of pure energy that normally does not directly notice the lives around it, but in this moment in time, you are thanked. Had the tree just thanked him? Consuming the fruit of the quickening is the first step in evolving your own nature. In all the realities and dimensions of the land, a celestial chaos seed would be a formidable monster. And what the hell does that mean? Richter asked himself. The flow of energy had finally ceased. Nothing was left of the glowing silver fruit, not skin and not seeds. Behind him, he heard Hisako speak.
Watasachi ui forsuto. Ni kanza shimateru.
Every other sprite reverently repeated the phrase. Richter's gift of tongues ability triggered. Heavenly Forest, we thank you for your love and gifts. It seemed appropriate, so the Chaos Seed said the words himself with all solemnity. Then a massive grin broke out over his face. He was surrounded both by comrades who had stood by him through fire and blood and hundreds of celestial fruits. It was time to show his people just how smart they'd been in choosing him as a friend. Chapter 55,
Day 144, Kuborn 34, 0 AOC. Richter was about to reach for another fruit when a glimmer caught his eye. Looking down, he saw the forgotten silver rind of the first fruit. With everything that had happened, he'd completely forgotten the outer shell of the swirling silver universe he had just consumed. He picked it up and examined it.
You have found true silver rind of the first fruit. Durability 138 of 138. Item class, rare. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Traits. This rind is from the first fruit of the quickening. Comprised of true silver, it is anathema to abyssal creatures. It is also deadly to those of the demonic and hellish planes. Evil creatures will not be able to stand its touch. A smith of sufficient skill might be able to forge this rind and others of its type into an ingot of true silver. What a weapon that could make!
If I ever thought that this tree was not amazing, I take it back, Richter thought with awe. True silver had been one of the rarest and most precious metals one could find when he'd thought the land was only a game. It was actually a bit of a running joke to send noobs on werewolf hunts armed with silver-tipped crossbow bolts. The precious metal did absolutely nothing. One werewolf king had actually been reported to wear thick silver chains as bling while he slaughtered ill-prepared adventurers. Where those stories came from was true silver. This gleaming metal would lay low vampires, ghouls, wares, and any number of malignant creatures. He'd even heard that light reflected from true silver could damage certain monsters, though he'd always doubted that particular tale. Seemed overpowered to the max. Richter looked at the silvery undersides of the thousands of leaves above, held on branches of the same color, all connected to the large octuple helix of the trunk. If the entire tree were made of true silver, then it had an amazingly strong natural defense against malevolent creatures. It also made it even more important to keep the quickening hidden and protected. Richter had been told that his core buildings were enough to go to war over, but it had always seemed a bit of an over-exaggeration to him. A living factory of true silver and fruit that improved both primary and secondary attributes, though? He had to keep it secret. He put the precious rind into his bag of holding. Crom would wet himself when he saw it. Alora flew up to him. She held both hands out and closed her eyes for a moment before smiling.
I can feel the celestial spark within you, my lord. It may take years, but I believe that if you continue to consume the fruit of the quickening, you may one day become a celestial.
That'd be nice, Richter said with a chuckle, but I can't complain about what I've already gained just from eating the first fruit. What matters now is that you and your children partake of the fruit as well. Her mouth dropped open.
You would share the fruit with my people?
It is your bonded tree, he reminded her.
But it is your land, and you are my lord. Even my bonded tree that has made me and my children celestials came from you, Lord Richter.
Alora's face was so earnest. That mixed with her small size and youthful face, it was all he could do not to die from the adorableness of it all. It was like puppy sliding on kitchen floor cute. He knew that would hurt the diminutive queen's feelings, though, so he just said, I am blessed to have the service of such a wonderful people as the Celestial Pixies. Even more so, I am blessed to have you as a companion, Alora. Her face lit up, and she gazed at him with just a touch of adoration. He continually had to remind himself that inside that small but womanly body, there was still a child who had barely lived any life at all. She was someone who needed guidance in many ways. Even in this sweet moment, he couldn't pass up an opportunity to fuck with someone, though. If you feel like your people shouldn't have access to the fruits, I'll just give them to—
No, no, my lord!
She interjected quickly, just a threat of panic in her voice.
I would be honored to accept.
You're sure? He asked with mock seriousness. Because I could easily give them to someone else. She started to look genuinely distressed.
My lord, you were so generous to offer, and I do not want to ruin this for my people. Please, forgive my rash words.
Richter winked deliberately at her. Then I need you to say that you want them. Say, I want the fruit. She looked at him in surprise, then smiled a bit bashfully. She rose to the challenge, though. After straightening her small back, her four multicolored wings vibrated faster than his eyes could follow. Formally, she stated,
Lord Richter, as your vassal and caretaker of the quickening, I ask that you allow myself and my children to partake of the fruit of this celestial tree.
Richter cocked his head, as if he was considering the manner with full gravity, but he ruined it by chuckling. Alora lasted another full second before covering her mouth coquettishly and laughing. Then she blurted,
I want the fruit!
The Chaos Seed bowed grandly. Then you shall have it, my lady. How many do you need?
My children can make do with less than you require due to their diminutive size. One fruit should be enough for four of them. I am considered tiny, so I will need half of a fruit, if that is acceptable, my lord.
Richter looked at his familiar flying with the still singing pixie children and thought he knew just the tiny creature that could use the other half. Of course it is, my companion. Let's gather the fruits and see how many there are.
Oh, I know that. The quickening is level 2, so it produced 200 fruit.
You sure? Alora gave a small laugh.
Of course. The quickening is my bonded. There are few things about it that I do not know.
Richter just nodded. With the sprites helping, he collected all of the fruit in short order. Alora had been exactly correct. 199 silver fruit rested in a loose pyramid at his feet. Including the first fruit, that made 200. 24 were allocated for Alora and her brood. He opened each fruit in turn, handing over the glowing inner flesh and pocketing the true silver rinds. Except for the fact that the first fruit had been a bit bigger, each other silver sphere looked exactly the same. As the pixies ate, the colors of their wings deepened. He didn't need to split each fruit into sections. Four pixies just landed onto one of the glowing spheres, like the four points of a compass. They greedily drank in the celestial energy. Once each quartet finished, they shot into the air laughing. Alora went last and shared the fruit with Alma. As the dragonling ate, prompts sprung up in Richter's vision. You have elected to feed your familiar fruit from a quickening. As a creature, she lacks skill affinities. In exchange, consuming the celestial power increases all her base primary attributes by +5%. In addition, each level she gains provides 1.05 ability points applied retroactively. Before his very eyes, Richter saw Alma change. Her body became sleeker, and her wings lengthened a bit. Her fangs grew sharper, as did her claws. The sooty color of her scales that made it so efficient hiding at night grew to a richer black. More notifications filled Richter's view. Alma's total adjusted ability points, 4.85. Finally, consuming the fruit has instilled a celestial spark inside of the Psi Dragonling. The effects of this can be far-reaching, but the immediate consequences are 1. +1% attack and defense versus evil, abyssal, hellish, and demonic creatures, magics, and effects. 2. +1% bonus to personal healing. The +5% increase to all of her stats was awesome. Because of her size, it didn't make much of a difference in regards to strength, but it made a big difference to intelligence and wisdom. Her mana pool had increased from 820 to 861 in the space of a minute. As great as that was, though, Richter was honestly more excited about the boost to her ability points. Now that she was level 38, gaining additional points was proving to be especially difficult. She only got one per level. Eating the fruit had just given her a free point, and once she reached level 41, she'd get another. He had a strong feeling that getting her to level 7 in Psybond was something that needed to happen sooner rather than later. Richter had no idea about what a celestial spark really was, but anything that protected his girl was something he could get behind. He summoned her status page, and this time changed the interface to see her attribute distribution. The Chaos Seed liked how his little killer was progressing. Name, Alma. Level, 38, 71%. Race, Psi Dragonling. Stats, health, 130. Mana, 861. Regen per minute, 51.84. Stamina, 180. Regen per minute, 10.8. Attributes. Strength, 5. Agility, 34. Dexterity, 35. Constitution, 13. Endurance, 18. Intelligence, 86. Wisdom, 86. Charisma, 18. Luck, 18. Spell power bonuses. Air, 50%. Life, 50%. Resistances. Air, 50%. Mental, 100%. Life, 50%. Abilities. Unused points, 4.85. Psi Bond, level 6. Points to next level, 5. Psi Blast, level 3. Points to next level, 3. Brain Drain, level 7. Points to next level, 7. Psi Channeling, level 2. Points to next level, 2. Richter closed Alma's window and opened Alora's instead. His companion's stats had improved just like his own, though he didn't know what secondary attribute she had increased. It was clear that she was becoming a force to be reckoned with. Her dexterity was insane. The 3 points that were auto-allocated into the stat every level, coupled with the modifier from her being a tiny creature, had almost put her over 100 points. Name, Alora. Race, Royal Celestial Pixie. Disposition, Ally. Profession, Herbalist. Level 22, 34%. Liege Lord, Richter. Alignment, Lawful Good, 3. Stats. Health, 140. Mana, 410. Stamina, 200. Attributes. Strength, 5. Agility, 40. Dexterity, 95. Constitution, 14. Endurance, 20. Intelligence, 41. Wisdom, 22. Charisma, 16. Luck, 17. Description. Celestial Pixies receive 2 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +3 to Dexterity, +1 to Agility, and +1 to Intelligence. Celestial Pixies receive a racial boost to movement speed. The benefits from sharing the quickening fruit weren't limited to just stat boosts. Richter enjoyed a relationship boost with every pixie that consumed the fruit. He also collected every rind. As the pixies had been feeding, even more people had come under the canopy. Richter picked up 3 of the silver fruits and took them to Hisako, Yoshi, and Sion. Even the sword adept was moved, as evidenced by a relationship boost prompt. They consumed the fruits, and Richter moved on. Tirad and Calder both received one, as did Tabia. Richter was concerned that Randolphus might be offended at being excluded, but the spy had apparently already guessed that celestial fruit might not coincide with his nature. He just thanked Richter for the consideration and continued marking on his clipboard, recording each person that was given a silver fruit. Crumb received one, of course, as did Bayon. The smith was blown away by the wonderful gift, but it was hard to say if he was more moved by the fruit or by the fact that he would get to work with true silver. 27 people had been taken by Nexus for their trials, including Crom. Richter set aside another 26 for them. He also gave one to each of the new corporals, Ox and Schroeder, as well as Sion's new second, Kenjiro. 5 of the precious fruits were allocated to Tabia for potion experimentation. He was hoping that the professed alchemist might be able to make something worthwhile from the celestial spheres. He emphasized that he was to get the metal rinds back as soon as possible, something to which she readily agreed. Ultimately, even including the fruit he set aside, there were still more than 100 silver orbs left over from this first crop. Richter realized he would have to think hard about the best people to gift the fruit to. It could definitely be a strong motivator. He had already decided that no quickening fruit would be sold outside the village. Both the secret of the quickening and the tree itself had to be protected. Hisako stated that she intended to do some dungeon diving and requested that he give permission to another 10 of her warriors. He acceded with a smile. Richter gave Crom all the rinds and put the extra fruit into his bag. A quick run over to the treasury would let him try out his new skill. "I'll be back in the forge in a bit," Richter called out. Then he took off at a run. After he built up some speed, he triggered his new skill. It was amazing! Each step let him coast over the grass like he was ice skating. There was no loss of momentum, and the lack of friction let him move even faster than if he was sprinting.
The downside was the stamina burn. He realized that his stamina was falling faster than it would have just from running. It wasn't that much worse, but it was still a consideration. After he'd run a bit, Richter decided to try his increased jump as well. Finishing a glide step with both feet on the ground, he bent his knees and launched himself.